Bibles, if you will, with me, please, to the book of Romans. To the book of Romans. We've been studying that a little bit, and we're going to finish with that tonight. Romans chapter 8. I believe we finished the page that we had with the blanks on. I believe we finished that, didn't we? Okay, so we're just going to kind of review just for a second and not really go over that sheet, but just some of the thoughts that maybe are, just go along with what we said. Yes, ma'am?
We didn't finish 26-39.
Well, we didn't finish that. Okay, well, let's get that done then. 26-39? All right, well, let's do that then. This is in Romans chapter 8, and again, this is a study on the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm glad that you pointed that out, because I was going to teach that tonight in a different way, and so that goes right along with it. So good. I couldn't remember if I finished. Usually I mark when I stop, but we went right to prayer last time, and I just didn't put a mark, and I wanted to make sure that I didn't miss this passage of Scripture. The truth is, when you and I have a lot on our shoulders, I had someone in my office yesterday. We spoke for probably an hour, maybe an hour and a half, and just a lot on the shoulders, so to speak. A lot of pressure, a lot of things going on, and just things. How do I go through this? How do I know what God wants in our lives? If you and I will pay attention to Romans 8, 26, 27, 28, and 29, we will find that it has just a tremendous amount to do with our lives and then goes on after that. All right? So let's look at it. Let's just start with the reading of it, okay? I tell you what, let's do this. Let's start with verse 24, all right? If you'll start with me, verse 24, I'll read it. And if you'll follow along, and those at home, if you're in your Bibles, and I understand many of you have a hard time getting out in this kind of weather, and so we're delighted that you're with us on the live stream, and that's good. Thank you for being here. So we're going to start in Romans chapter 8, verse 24, and the Bible declares it in this manner, "For we are saved by hope." Now, when you see the Bible word hope, it doesn't mean, it's not like, and I think we did it one time before, it's not like the old song, "I've got high hope, I've got," maybe not exactly like that music-wise, but "I hope," it's kind of a, I got to put a smiley face on everything I see. It's not that kind of thing. The word here has the idea of joyful anticipation. It's something that is marked that I have hope, I have a joyful anticipation, all right? And that's what he's talking about here. Verse 24, "For we are saved by hope." What would be the hope concerning salvation? Someone help me out real quickly. When it says we are saved by hope, what would be the relationship of hope with our salvation?
Heaven.
Heaven, exactly right. What's another hope regarding salvation? I heard this over here.
Forgiveness of
sins. Someone else. Saved, very good. In other words, there's that joyful anticipation that when I recognize, based on the Word of God, I'm a sinner, and because of my sin, I deserve to go to hell, that I have that joyful anticipation based on the Word of God, not based on my, oh boy, I'm just, God's going to look at me and say, "Come on in." It's not that. It's when I throw myself on His mercy and say, "Oh God, You said that You love the world so much that You gave Your Son to die for my sins, and You said, whosoever believeth in Him." I'm part of that whosoever, Lord. And so when I say, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart," it says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." Romans chapter 10. "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto" what? To salvation. And it says in verse 13 of that, chapter 10, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be" what? Oh, we have that hope. It's a joyful anticipation that when my heart, along with my head, okay, and I've this is just the simple way for me to understand it. The head, the mind, is the courtroom of the heart. The heart is the sanctuary of the life. It's kind of the way I envision it for me. So that when I think about, well, Judaism, or I think about Hinduism, or I think about agnosticism, or I think about atheism, and I think about Christianity, and I evaluate this one and that one, and I look at fulfilled prophecy, and I look at, no, they don't have any prophecy fulfilled, and I think about one who has a risen Savior and another one that's in a tomb somewhere, with my head, I'm going through this, and with the help of the Holy Spirit as an unsaved man, I realize, wait a minute, when I consider the stars of the heaven and what the Bible says about that, when I think about the Bible that it says that there's rivers in the ocean where they're for millennia and for centuries, they said there is no such thing. They scoffed at the Bible when they said there's rivers in the ocean. There's no rivers in the ocean. Well, we know now that there is. When it talks about that there is animal life in the bottom of the ocean, and we think about, oh, they've just scoffed at it. There's nothing that can live in the body. I mean, the pressure is so great, and it is so cold. Nothing at the bottom of the ocean could ever live. And yet now we have unmanned submarines that go down and can go down, and they video it, and there's vents in the bottom of the ocean that come up. They're just like flaps. They come up from the heat of the core, and they have found that there's all kinds of animal life that's around there. So the point is, when I evaluate that as an unsaved man and I realize only God could pre-write history, we talked about this the other day, could pre-write history, the Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, the Grecian, and so forth, the various empires and all of the various rulers and leaders and people who would be named that hadn't been born yet, and they were named that. So when I think about that, and then I look at some of these others, and I'm evaluating it in my mind, and I come to, wait a minute, only God could have written this Bible. Written by, oh, all these men, and over this, only God could have done that. For with the heart then, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So the point that I'm trying to make is that when we come to that point, our minds and our hearts call on the Lord Jesus to save us, then it's more than just an ethereal hope that's floating around, but it's a designated, it's a dedicated hope that says, God said he would save me if I ask him to. I'm asking him to. And he came into my heart to be my Savior. Now, verse 24, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is not, but hope that is seen is not hope. Okay? Because you have it. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Patience has the idea of abiding under pressure. It has the idea of to remain under pressure, to be under something and to be that kind of pressure. Now with that in mind, while we're hoping for eternal life, joyfully anticipating it, while we're still here, unlike some of our brethren who are now in heaven. Some of you may have a spouse who's in heaven. Okay? So as we are waiting for that, we still have some challenges, don't we? Maybe not. I forgot. This is Hendersonville. Are there ever any challenges that come to the Christians in Hendersonville? Yes, obviously so. You say, of course we do. And you'd be exactly right. That's where verses 26, 27, and 28. We could take 2 hours on this passage of Scripture. If you will understand it, study it. Not just read it, but study it. It can take 1,000 pounds off your shoulders. When there seems to be no answer, when there seems to be no hope, when there seems to be, why is all this going on in my life? Or, Lord, this is so grand and great, I don't know that if I'm sufficient. In fact, I'm certain I'm not sufficient for what you've put in front of me. Or whatever the matter is. Verses 26, 27, and 28, according to the Holy Spirit, is phenomenally important in your life and mine. So let's look at it, shall we? Here we go. Verse 26 says, likewise, okay, in the same manner that while we're hoping for something, joyfully anticipating seeing our Savior, joyfully anticipating living through this great challenge, joyfully anticipating rising to the challenge with the help of God and able to accomplish what God wants for us to accomplish, he says, likewise, in the same way that we can justifiably anticipate with joy what God's going to do in this life. He says, likewise, in the same way, likewise, verse 26, the Spirit, here we go, we're going to study the Spirit. Likewise, the Spirit, is it a capital S there? Yes, the Holy Spirit. Likewise, the Spirit also, not only do we exercise our will, okay, Lord, here we go. I don't know how this is going to turn out. So I'm involved in this. I'm looking forward to what God's going to do. I'm scared. As our sister said, what time I fear, I will trust in the Lord. And there is no fear in love, for perfect love casteth out fear. I like the Greek word, if you'll forgive me. It's ekbalo. Ek means out, and ball is like thunk, 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 thunk. You get a ball, and you throw it out of there, all right? So perfect love casteth out fear. Why? For fear hath torment. There's a lot of Christians that live in fear. A lot of Christians who live in fear. It may be fear because of their inadequacies. A fear that they're going to be alone. A fear that their finances are going to be in reversal and just they're going to have more. And it's when they don't have something to be afraid of, they're afraid they're forgetting something. And so they just live in that state of fear. It consumes them. But it says, likewise, just like our hope, likewise, we invest ourselves in the hope, but it says, likewise, the Spirit also, in tandem with our putting our trust in the Lord. Lord, I'm not smart enough. Lord, I'm not wealthy enough. Lord, I'm not sufficient, but I'm going to trust you in this setting. I know you'll see me through it. And so as I'm exercising my will, in that anticipation of what God's going to do, it says, likewise, the Spirit also. So in tandem, like two wheels on a bicycle, one provides the motor, so to speak, the movement forward, and the other provides the direction. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. And you're going to find that the Holy Spirit, if I could use that bicycle again, the Holy Spirit is that momentum. He is that one that provides the movement. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Now think about it. Think about it, Jordan. Think about it, Brother Kitchen. Think about it, sister. That he knows what I'm going through. And he doesn't say, well, I hope Randy makes it through this okay. Well, I sure hope that Brother Don's going to, he's back there and working on the, I sure hope he knows what he's doing and he's going to, no. He says he helpeth our infirmities. So as I'm putting my faith and trust in the Lord, whether I'm on the, going into the, under the knife in the surgical ward, or whether I'm there facing the difficulties of life, whatever they are, but I'm moving forward in faith like Abraham did, and like Moses did, and like Elijah did, and like you and I can, with the help of God. The Holy Spirit comes along. He says, Joshua, he says, I'm here too. He says, he helpeth our infirmities. Now notice what he says. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, and here's the reason. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a matter so serious to your heart and mind, courtroom, sanctuary, a matter that was so overwhelming or so serious that you found yourself not really even knowing how to pray about it? How do I word this to God? How do I bear all my burdens to Him? How do I cast all my care? I don't, it is so. The depth is so deep and the breadth is so wide. I don't know how I can. It says he helpeth our infirmities. Notice what he says. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. So what's the remedy for that? The Holy Spirit. Let's see it. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself, or Himself. When you see that in the original language, We could, in the English language, we could have left out that word itself or himself. We would call it redundancy. We would just read it, for the Spirit maketh intercession. But not just in the Greek language, but in some other languages as well, when you have a repetition of the same individual or event, but the same individual oftentimes, it's not there out of redundancy, it's there out of emphasis. It's like we would put an exclamation mark behind it, okay? So when we have infirmities and we don't even know how to pray for it as we ought, the Spirit himself or itself maketh intercession for the saints. Let me ask you a question. Where does the Holy Spirit live? Quick, who? Everybody's going like that. All right. With me, I've got a pacemaker and a heart. Let's say pacemaker. I was still in my heart, all right? And in South America, I say liver. I've got the joy down in my liver. It's the idea of the seat of our being, our emotions and our consciousness. It's our hearts, all right? So he says, the Spirit himself or itself maketh intercession. He maketh intercession for us. Notice what he says, with groanings which cannot be uttered. I don't know about you, but when I think about the Holy Spirit, if I'm not careful, I underestimate how much he loves us. Have you had have you ever had a youngin? And the youngin was sick, or your spouse was sick, and you didn't know how to help them. You were helpless. If it was a bug of some kind, you knew that you could do this, or you could do that, or you could do the other, and you could help them. But there is a depth of agony that comes to a beloved's heart when they want to help and they can't. They don't have that ability. Either they don't have the knowledge, or they don't have the equipment, they don't have the medicine, they don't have the technology, they can't do. There's an agony of heart that just aches. Does that make sense? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yes. Okay. You ache because you want to do something and you're helpless to do it. It says that the Holy Spirit maketh intercession for us, for the saints, with groanings which cannot be uttered. These are in areas in which we don't even know how to pray for as we ought, he says. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So here's the Holy Spirit. He lives in my heart. He lives in Miss Michelle's heart. He lives in Miss Jury's heart. He lives in your hearts and mine too. And in the settings of life in which we're tempted to fear, and yet we cast out fear, and we're intentionally saying, no, yes, I am afraid. But I'm not going to let my fear intervene or interfere with my trust in God. So I'm setting, it's there, I'm going to set it aside and put my gaze on a Lord who loves me infinitely and eternally, who is the great physician. And when I do that, the Holy Spirit wants to intercede for me. There's going to be times when you don't know the will of God. You just don't know the will of God. You want the will of God, but you don't know the will of God. And so it's kind of like you're stranded in a way, and you just say, Lord, it just seems like I'm wasting time or wasting energy or whatever, and I want to do your will, but I just don't know your will. And we know the Bible says he delights in giving us the desires of our hearts. And so, Lord, all I know to do is move in the direction that I believe is your will. And in those settings, it's the Holy Spirit again. We don't even know how to pray intelligently. Because, well, maybe this is the will of God. No. Maybe this is the will of God. What do I do? And we can come to the Word of God and realize, wait a minute, none other than God the Holy Spirit, who lives in my heart, who knows the will of God. How does he know the will of God? Why would he know the will of God? Because he is God. Excellent. He is God. Well, as a matter of fact, it's documented here. Let's look at it. With groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts, that's God the Father, according to Isaiah and other passages. He that searcheth the hearts, says he knows our secret thoughts, the Bible says. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Why does he know the mind of the Spirit? Because God the Father is God. God the Son is God, and God the Holy Spirit is God. Amen? Amen. Why don't we turn that one up just a little bit, all right? We don't want to disappoint the folks that are listening online. God the Holy Spirit is God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, that's good. All right. He that searcheth the hearts, that's God the Father, knoweth the mind of the Spirit, because he's God too. And why is he paying attention? Because he, the Spirit, maketh intercession for the saints. How? According to what? The will of God. Oh my. You know what he's saying? He's saying this, Father. Brother Earl believes this is the will of God, and he's going in this direction. He's sincere, Father. I know his heart. I live here. I know his heart, and he's going in this direction. But Lord, we know over here is actually our will for his life. And with groanings which cannot be uttered, in, as he makes intercession, according to the will of God, he says, in essence, Father, if we don't do something, he is sincere wanting our will, but he's going in the wrong direction. If we don't do something, he's going to stay in the wrong direction and never accomplish our will for his life. Let's don't stop our reading. Last part of verse 27, for the saints according to the will of God, and we know. Why don't we read 28 together? We know that passage, but let's just go ahead and read it. And it reads, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Oh my. When the Holy Spirit makes intercession, and he's doing so with groanings which cannot be uttered, and he that knoweth the hearts of man knoweth the minds of the Spirit, for the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us according to the will of God. And we know that all things, what? Work together for good. They concert together for good. It's literally the term, I may have mentioned it before, I don't recall, but it's literally the term, have I mentioned about synergy in here before? I don't know if I have or not. If you don't know what synergy is, let me just illustrate it and you'll know what I mean. If I have two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen and I put them together, what does it make? Water, okay? If I had 100 parts of hydrogen and I didn't have any oxygen, how many times would that produce water? None. If I had 1,000 particles of oxygen and I had no hydrogen, how many times would that produce water? Okay? But if I put two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen and I put them together, what does it make? If I did that 1,000 times, how many times would it make it? That's right. So here's the point. This is what synergy is. If you have this and it cannot make, let's say, water by itself, and you have this and it cannot make water by itself, but when you put them together, they can do something together that individually they could not have accomplished. That's what synergy means. If you took the words, and we know that all things work together for good, it is, if you looked at it in the Greek language and you didn't even translate it, you just moved that word straight over from the Greek language over into the English language, guess how it would appear? Synergy. Okay? It's got a different ending on it, but synergy is the root word. Notice what he says. Let's go back and look at verse 26. 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also help with our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts, you remember verse 24 and 25? It Talks about our hope, doesn't it? May I ask you a question? Where is your hope secured? Is it in your intellectual prowess, your cognitive abilities, and your financial resources, and your physical well-being? Or is your hope in the Lord? That no matter whether you have two nickels to rub together, or you could buy the city of Hendersonville, whether your body is just out, but you could go to the Olympics, and or not so much. Where is the hope of all that makes who you are? Where is it securely fashioned? See, it has to be in the Lord. And when our hope is directed, especially in those things that broadside us, we're not expecting them. The doctor says, or the banker says, or whatever it is, or a great opportunity, and it just, wow, there's no way I could do that. When those things come into our lives, if we decide and we maintain that decision, it becomes a habit. And if we maintain that habit to put our trust in the Lord, when I'm broadsided and I'm kind of my wind gets knocked out of me, my feet get knocked out from under me, when I've made the decision time and time again, I'm going to trust in the Lord, as Miss Gretchen said, or as the Apostle John said, there is no fear in love, for perfect love casteth out fear, for fear hath torment. When that's happened over and over again in different settings, good, bad, or whatever, and it becomes a habit. And we immediately go, okay, Lord, I don't know what this is about, but it seems it has your handiwork on it. Kind of like when God began dealing with us about coming here. I mean, it had the hand of the Lord on it from the very beginning. And the point I'm trying to make is when it becomes a habit and you intentionally keep that habit, it becomes an instinct. And what a great opportunity it is. You're still going to have fear, and you're going to have to cast out that fear. You're going to have to redirect, but you'll have practice in doing it. Like someone who is taking up being able to shoot a firearm, and when you're in that training, they train you to know exactly where you're going to put that hand on the pistol, or you're going to know exactly how to take it out of its holster. And you put this thumb, and you put your fingers in a certain way at a certain every single time, so that when you're in a time of crisis, or in a great opportunity, and maybe you're out hunting or whatever, and you have that opportunity, you don't have to think fingers there, inside, and this. No! It's there. And when you and I understand how much the Holy Spirit wants to direct our paths, He's praying for you, Jordan. He's praying for you, sister and brother, and for me too, in a way we can't even comprehend. And when we are that way and our hope is settled in Him, it says the Spirit also with us helpeth our infirmities. And when He does that and He intercedes to the Father and He says, Father, brother Jesse, he's sincere, but he's going in the wrong direction. What happens? The very next verse, verse 28, and we know. There's the hope. There's the confidence. And we know that all things synergize. All things work together for good. Here's the qualifications. To them that love God. Remember the hope fastened? To them that love God. And number two, to them who are the called according to His purpose. The call to the ministry is an exciting thing. I get to be your preacher. I do. I feel sorry for you, but I'm excited. I really am. I didn't say anything to Becky about it tonight, but when we got here and I was walking up the thing, when we first got here, we got here actually this afternoon and did some banking or changing address, and that's kind of an exciting thing too. But as I was walking up, I just got excited. I am so very grateful God has sent us here. And when you and I understand that when I don't know what's going on, and when I do, the Holy Spirit is going to take those difficult things, even choices we've made, and those choices ended up being, and God puts a roadblock in the way. I'm going this way, Brother Jesse, if you don't mind me again using you. If Jesse's going this way, or Brother Earl is going this way, as I used him before, and God's will is over here, it says, and all things synergize. work together for good. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's interceding. The Father is hearing the Holy Spirit, who's groaning in a desire for us to be able to accomplish His will for our lives. And we know that all things work together for good. So here's Brother Earl or Brother Jesse, and they are going in this direction sincerely, and they hit a roadblock. Maybe that roadblock is the losing of a job. Oh, that's awful. Well, here's something over here. Oh, and they find out. Oh, and they look back on it. Jesus led me all the way. Oh, if I'd have gone straight ahead, this would have never happened. Oh, God is so good. He's so good to me. And that's what this text is all about. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, there's the first prerequisite, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Yes, the call of the ministry is an exciting thing, but you know what? Sister Mintz and Miss Sylvia, and each one who's here tonight, God has a calling on your life too. It's not that Randy Bray is anything special. My goodness, no. Oh, goodness gracious, no. I could give you a whole catalog of reasons why the Lord shouldn't use me. But He wants to. And He wants to use you. And He may not call you to stand behind a pulpit, but He's got a place for you to give out the gospel. We call them divine appointments. Where God is saying, wait a minute, just like Paul was going to go to Asia Major, and we talked about it the other day, and God had a vision come, and from Macedonia, come to Macedonia, come help us. God has a calling. Oh, I wish we had time to finish the rest of the chapter, and we really don't. So let's go ahead and finish the rest of the page, all right? Before we have to come back next week, and oh, preacher, you didn't finish the page, all right? But that's the heart and soul, because it goes on. We're going to finish with the last couple of verses in chapter 8 in just a moment, so that I can say I finished the chapter. All right? So, not really. All right. So, Spirit-enabled victories. How many of you enjoy victories? Amen. Ah, do you really? I do too. Salvation, verse 24. Verse 26, the Spirit helpeth our... You don't look at the Bible. You ought to know it by now. Spirit helpeth our... infirmities. Very good, very good. Spirit helpeth our infirmities. And the will, this is the next bullet, the third one down, the will of God will be revealed. Will of God will be revealed. Why? Because that's what He wants. And then all things work together for good. So as we finish out Romans 8 as far as filling in the blanks, let's don't finish it until we get completely to the last part of it. Verse 34. Let's look at 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth or declares righteous. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So if somebody condemns you, don't worry about that. They're not the final judge. All right? And he continues that same thought. Verse 35. Now, when we're reading about the love of Christ, let's also allow the echoes of 24, actually 26, 27, and 28, and the rest. Chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So this entire chapter has so much to do about the Holy Spirit of God. So when we're talking now about the love of Christ, let the echoes of the rest of the chapter, as they will be like the strings on a piano, you've heard about that before, is there's usually three strings on a piano. And we won't go into all the detail of it, but when you have like middle C, you plunk down on middle C, that actually that hammer comes down and hits three strings at the same time. So one key, one hammer, one note hits the hammer, and it hits three strings all at one time. If those three strings aren't tuned exactly the same, you get that yah, 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 yah sound. It just sounds terrible. But when the two strings are muted out and the middle string is tuned to a standard, it could be a pitchfork, tuning fork. Is that right? Yeah, a tuning fork, not a pitchfork. That wouldn't make a difference. That'd be kind of hard. Thong, you know, all right. But a tuning fork, all right. And old-time piano tuners. My dad was a piano tuner. And when he would do it, now I did it some as well, but my dad could actually count the beats, when the string is hit, it beats the air at a certain frequency, okay? And my dad could actually count those. A lot of good piano tuners can. They can actually count it. I can do it a little bit, but not anything like my dad. So he tunes that according to the tuning fork. Dad would go thong on his kneecap, and he would listen to this tuning fork in his ear. Then he would be taking the hammer, the tuning hammer, and tuning and turning that string tighter or more loosely, more tightly or more loosely, and he would tune it until they were beating the air at the same frequency. And then that middle string would be exactly in tune. And then he would unmute one of the other strings, and he would tune that one to the middle string. And then he would unmute the third one and tune it to the other two strings, so that when that hammer came down and hit all three strings, it was almost like a straight line. It was just a single note. That's what God wants in our hearts. When we have the voice of the Holy Spirit, as he's interceded to the Father, says the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, along with our joyful anticipation. I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know how it's going to be. But one of those strings is our hearts and our ambition to be what God wants us to be, to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. And then the middle string is the Holy Spirit who's making intercession. And he is saying, Father, he's out of tune. And so the Father and the Holy Spirit in concert together, as my heart wants to be, and they take that tuning fork, and maybe they have to make it a little tighter. Not a tuning fork, but the tuning hammer. They have to make that string of my will a little tighter and bringing me exactly to where the heartbeat of God is. Oh. But John the Apostle said that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. All three strings are tuned exactly alike. Show me a Christian, perhaps, who has an attitude problem. That string's not beating at frequency of God. God never has an attitude problem, does he? Or a priority problem. Or a habit problem. Or whatever the problem is. And the Holy Spirit is saying, no, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. Or it's someone who's in love with God, but they're just going in the wrong direction innocently. And the Holy Spirit says, oh, Father, we must help Randy. If it was my daughter, she would say it like this, bless his heart. Right? He needs to get, he wants our will. Let's just put something in his way, a good thing or a blockage that looks like a bad thing, but we know it's a good thing, so that eventually he'll be over here exactly where he needs to be, right in the middle of our will, enjoying my strength is made complete in what? God's strength is made complete in my what? In my weakness. Okay? And that's why the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ. Now with this, we'll finish. Look at us, verse 35. Let's let the echoes of the greatness of the Holy Spirit blend in with the echoes of the greatness of Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then you got a seven would-be destroyers of that. Seven would-be separators from the love of Christ. Tribulation, distress, persecutions, famine, nakedness, peril, or the sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Oh, now the exclamation. Nay, or never. In all these things, I like the word all. Do you like the word all? I like the word all because it's all inclusive. No matter what I get myself into or what God gets me into. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that what? Loved us. Through him that what? Loved us. For I am persuaded, oh, here we go. Verse 24. For I am persuaded This is verse, 38, but it matches my will. Okay, remember, I'm putting my hope, my joyful anticipation. Paul says, for I am persuaded. That's where I am. That's my hope. That neither death, that's a separator. Death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature, will you say the rest of it with me, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This chapter just amplifies the ministry of the Trinity in your life and mine. Now, my dear sister right here, she's a dear sister, loves the Lord Jesus. You've been saved, haven't you, sister? Okay. And very likely, if I could speculate, in humility, my dear sister would think, why would God want to do all that for me? In my setting, I get myself into settings. And yet, according to this, nothing can separate. She might say that. But the Word of God in surround sound says to my dear sister and to each one of us and those who are live streamed tonight, nothing can separate us from the love of God. But there's a whole lot that if we allow it to, can separate us from our trust and our diligent sights and directing our hope, our joyful anticipation to where we almost get like a hoarder who hangs on to stuff, and if you try to get anything out of it, oh, they're going to fight you for that because I may need that 2 years from now. They become comfortable living in garbage. There's a lot of Christians who have become comfortable living with attitude problems. Well, if the preacher only knew, he doesn't understand. He doesn't know what's happened to me. If he knew what happened to me when I was 3 years old, 5 years old, if he understood how my spouse, if he understood how this or that or the other, and you're probably right. I don't understand a lot of those things. But God does. And he is able to deliver us so that we can walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. But he won't do it for us. That has to be an action of our will that puts our hope, our joyful anticipation in the omniscience, the omnipresence, and the omnipotence of God. That he can do anything, 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 like the song says. He can do anything but what? Anything but fail. Why? Because he's God. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for your love for us. Lord, I depend so greatly on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who superintends my walk. He'll allow me to take missteps if I so choose. And even in those times when I want your will but don't know your will, the Holy Spirit is there, and he's going to orchestrate it so that I end up in his will until I intentionally choose to not do what I know is his will. Then I can get out of God's will for my life. But until then, he's going to make certain that I end up there. Lord, I thank you for that. I pray that you're pleased with our study tonight. And may it come to the rescue, perhaps of a heart tonight, here in the presence of in our study, or perhaps listening online, that are so inundated with doubt and fear and why this isn't going to work and why I'm not sufficient and why God wouldn't want to do it for me. And get our eyes off ourselves and get them on you, and then put our feet going in the direction of what we already know is your will for our lives. And Holy Spirit, you'll be pleased instead of grieved. And that's what we want. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we'll say goodnight to our live stream folks. Thank you for being with us. We're going to go to our prayer time now, and I would invite you, as our brother said, just Brother Mintz just a few minutes ago, gave us some prayer requests, and we'll probably take a few more here. But to our live stream folks, if you're still listening, then why don't you have a time of prayer too and pray for some of those things. And if we can help you any way in the world, please be sure to give us a call and we'll put those on the prayer list as well. The Lord bless you. Good night.